As credit card bills trickle in from the holidays, even newer gadgets and more lately fashionable spring collections show up in the stores. The dilemma of whether or not to splurge on a little something may arise, but what would your husband or your wife say if you opted for buying that new iPhone instead of paying off that heavy Amex bill? And who decides? And how does it get decided? Last Sunday's New York Times story, Money Doesn't Talk, reported that some spouses go as far as hiding the money trail for big-ticket items by paying in cash, or maybe little-ticket items that they just rather not show up on the credit card bill that their partner writes the checks for. Later in the hour, the Iranian president's visits to the Americas, and your letters. But first, we'd like to hear how you juggle money with your spouse and in your house. What purchases do you keep secret and why? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we turn first to Amy DeFrisco, a personal stylist and owner of the Two Blondes Boutique on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. She joins us by phone. And good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And I wonder if you see things like this happening in your shop, people buying stuff in secret.
I do. Women, it seems that men and women never have the same sensibility when it comes to fashion and or how much the fashions can cost.
Mm-hmm.
So women like to be independent, and of course they love to look terrific and dress well. So they will come in and have, dare I say, their own little stash or their own monies that they've saved up, and will make purchases that the spouse or partner is never the wiser to.
And by the name of the Two Blondes Boutique, I take it you mostly sell stuff for women.
Mostly, yes, I do.
So what's the first thought that goes through your mind when somebody's cash comes out of their purse?
The first thought that goes through mine would probably be that, you know, it's her purchase. She's being independent. This is what she desires at that time. And it's just a done deal. They don't have to worry about any bills
mm-hmm.
at the end of the month or answering to anybody. And it's just more of a form of independence. Is the way I see it, to a person who wants to look their very best and to have a great presentation.
And I'm sure they do after they use whatever it is they bought. But is this just for the expensive stuff or is it for little stuff too?
Oh, it's for little stuff as well. Absolutely. Again, I just have to keep stressing, you know, a woman who just wants to look terrific, and of course she's going to come to my store.
Absolutely.
Terrific. And to just make these purchases and be able to just have that independence and know that it's a done deal. She's
mm-hmm.
purchased, she's all set, and she has all of these different things to wear and to go to for all of the important things in her life, being special occasions or work-related items.
And I wonder, have you ever talked to any of your customers about this, even in that sort of secret language that shop owners have with some of their customers, raised eyebrow, inflected lip?
I would have to say it's not so secret. It's really something that's just taken for granted. You know, women know that they want to make these purchases, especially in the beginning of the season or if there's a special occasion coming up. And it's not so secret. It's just, I'm here, I want to look great, and I'm taking care of it.
Amy DeFrisco, thanks very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Amy DeFrisco owns the Two Blondes Boutique on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. She joined us today by phone from her shop to look at some of these trends in household spending and how spouses deal with money differences. We turn to Lauren Young. She's personal business editor for Business Week magazine, and she joins us from our bureau in New York City. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Neil. I have no shopping bags with me right now. I just want to say that.
And so you didn't hide that extra jar of pickles you didn't want your husband to know about.
I just didn't have any time to shop between getting from here into my office, although I think about it all the time.
Uh-huh. Now, hiding purchases seems like a pretty common trend, and not just for women. If it's the women who run the checkbook, you would assume that husbands do it too.
Oh, absolutely, especially for gadgets, televisions, new computer equipment. a lot of people have, if you're not in that world, you have no idea how much those things cost. So I think that it happens on both sides of the coin, and it happens in same-sex partnerships. It happens in opposite sex. It just, couples, you know, opposites attract. So somebody's inevitably a spender and somebody's inevitably a saver. So I think that's why we hide it from each other so often.
Well, how do you bury the cost of a $1,700 flat screen TV?
I know a woman who had $9,000 of clothes on layaway at a boutique, and her husband had absolutely no idea. So I agree that filling up the closet with clothes, the husband might not be able to notice that as much as the large, you know, 50-inch screen in the middle of your living room. But if you're not in that world and you don't pay attention, you don't always know how much things cost. You think they got a really good deal at Costco. So sounds like a good idea to me.
And I'm realizing that one of the fundamental premises for this entire conversation is the idea of the joint checking account.
And, you know, that's really interesting because there's a lot of dissension about whether or not there should be a joint checking account. We definitely know that the money is one of the number one causes for stress. It's one of the number one causes for divorce. Couples fight more about money than they do about sex. So the joint checking account, the thing is that so many people, so many women, so many men, we've been single for a while before we get married. We've had our own financial independence, and we don't always merge the money together. So sometimes it's easy to hide it because you don't know where it's coming from.
I think it was Lady Bird Johnson, who her husband was no dummy, but she was clearly the brains in that outfit, who said, you know, it would be, I love my husband dearly, but I wouldn't share a joint checking account with Jesus H. Christ.
I laugh because there was a time when we talked about pin money, when women had their pin money, and I'm not even sure, were they buying hat pins or were they buying pins to wear, I'm assuming hairpins?
Something a little bit more expensive than that, but
right.
I guess.
So, but I don't know anybody who talks about pin money. Now, I talk to couples all the time I do, you know, a lot of real life stories, and I recently talked to a couple, and the wife, she was a nurse. She made a pretty good salary, but she wasn't saving anything for retirement because the money she earned was her fun money.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't necessarily a good idea that she shouldn't be putting anything away for retirement, but she wasn't even getting the free match from her company. But I think there's just this mentality that you're supposed, if you earn it, you're allowed to spend it.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. What is it that you buy you don't want your partner to know about, and how do you manage it? 800-989-8255. And Joseph joins us. Joseph on the line from Sacramento in California.
Yeah, I've been married for just about 21 years now, and we've had separate accounts, separate money since day one. My wife's nearly fanatical about chasing down a last penny in her checking account, and if I'm within $40 or $50, I'm happy as I can be, and it's kept our marriage quite content. It's almost the only way we could pull it off.
So if you wanted to go out and buy that satellite radio or you know, navigational device or whatever it is.
It was camera equipment.
Camera equipment, all right. You can go ahead and do it. You pay for it. No fuss, no muss.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little bit of muss. I mean, it was not a minor purchase, but it was my money. We divide up the bills. We both have our responsibilities. And as long as I meet mine, it's less muss.
Less muss. Okay.
Yeah,
and I wonder, Lauren Young, an arrangement like that sounds sensible, but on the other hand, isn't it a lot easier for most people to figure out one person writes the checks and everybody can keep the money straight?
I don't think so. I personally think that it's better to keep it separate. But it's really what I've realized, Neil, over the years is that whatever works for you. Some couples need to sit down and have like a little financial segment every Sunday night and just talk about what's coming up for the week and what they need to spend, and that, you know, Johnny needs skating lessons or something. So I always hate saying things are case by case, but it really is. I think Joseph's agreement sounds amazing. It sounds a lot like my marriage. What's your marriage like, Neil? How do you guys handle money?
Badly as a rule, but she keeps track of it. I don't. I don't write the checks.
Okay, so, but it works for you.
And it works for us, yes.
It's what works. And what's I think ultimately it is what doesn't cause a lot of strife. I mean, you know, if you're fighting about money, there's a problem and you got to address it. So it's amazing to me, though, how many people don't talk about it. It's just money is one of those things, the same way we don't talk to our parents about what their plans are for the future and if there's an inheritance and all these crazy things come out after the fact. We don't talk to our partners about money.
To get another caller on the line, this is Shannon. Shannon with us from St. Louis.
Hi, Neil. How you doing?
Okay.
I love your show.
Thanks.
It's an awesome show. I am engaged to be married in February, and I have been stealing money to have a wedding present for my fiance. I'm learning a song to play, and so I've had to. It's $25 a lesson, so once a week, and we've had about 8 lessons. That's about. Well, I've had to stash about $300 for the lessons altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to stash some money for a baby grand to rent there. So I've been stealing quite a bit of money from whenever I'd see $20 laying on the counter, I'd grab it. We just had a baby, and we had a $50 bill for our baby.
So clearly it's not just your finances that have become entangled here.
No, I'm addicted now to stealing money. But it actually turned out good because I'm not going to rent the baby grand. And we were trying to figure out where we were going to pay for our rings because things are kind of tight right now. She's on maternity leave. And I decided to scrap the baby grand, and we had $350 set aside for rings.
All of a sudden, free money.
Yeah.
But this is a separate category, Lauren Young. This is under the category of how do I squirrel away money for a surprise for my partners so that they don't know about it.
You know, I love the fact that he was stealing the 20s from the countertop. That's wonderful. That's priceless. It's a funny thing. It made me remember this, and if my husband's listening, he'll laugh. But we actually do have one of those money jars. And for anniversaries, you know, inevitably it ends up amounting to like $100 or $200, depending on, you know, how long we go without dropping it in one of those Coinstar machines. But that's the mad money that we use. And I think it is fun to have kind of that found money. Now, I don't know if it's stealing it from the counter and putting it away and then it's finding it that works the same way. But I like that idea of just having a little mad money. And I think when you talk to financial advisors, they definitely recommend, no matter how you set up your money and how you figure it out, that there should be some money that's just yours and no questions asked kind of money. And the amount could be $100, it could be $1,000, I don't know. But there should be money that you don't have to ask questions about.
Two quick things, Shannon. One of which is, in a couple of years, the kid will be old enough to blame for all of this. And second of all, what's the song?
Oh, it's The Luckiest by Ben Folds.
Okay. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
And have a great ceremony. We appreciate the phone call. If you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. What purchases have you hidden from your spouse? I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing those items, big and little ticket, that you have hidden in your house. When it comes to money, how many spouses are in sync? Our guest is Lauren Young. She's personal business editor at Business Week magazine. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you're coveting, what you've already bought that your spouse may not know about and may never know about. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. This email from Linda: my husband and I hid clothing and golf equipment spending from each other very well until we started using American Express and found that they list each card name spending separately, and we were both caught. So, Lauren, you have to be careful when you're doing this to make sure you don't bust yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a paper trail anyway if you use a credit card, which is why we know people are paying for things like Gucci handbags and cash, because maybe the receipt, they can hide it away somewhere. But a credit card statement, it's pretty easy to go online and get all your spending for, you know, going back as far as it's dated on there.
You mentioned earlier that more people fight about money than about sex. Well, joining us to talk about how money can affect relationships is Carolyn Hacks, personal advice columnist for The Washington Post, who's been kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. Nice of you to be in today.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks.
If you have to confess about a big purchase you've made, you know, this is stuff that people do. People act on instinct.
Yes, and it's a bad instinct. I think if you're in the realm of confessing, you've done something wrong. And it's not necessarily that the big purchase was wrong. It's just the whole idea of hiding it, the sneaking around. And I just, certainly you're allowed to have some privacy in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go buy a a stupid handbag, then go for it. And I should have a little disclosure moment here that before you guys called today, I spent a stupid amount of money on a handbag. So
just happened to be.
Just happened to be. It was just within, I think, about 45 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that discredits everything I say.
Karma.
But the thing is, my husband knows about it. And in fact, he was the one pushing me to buy it. And the thing is, it's really about being comfortable in your marriage and being comfortable with this could sound almost over the top, but it's mm-hmm. being comfortable with who you are. You know, hey, I'm going to go spend a silly amount of money on something and I don't care what you think about it is almost the attitude you take into it. Now, obviously that's very dukes up for a marriage, but you've got to be ready to take what you're going to get from your partner. And I think carefully hiding cash in $100 increments that aren't going to be spotted until you rack up $2,000 I think that should be telling you something.
Here's an email we got from Tony. I had a guy tell me once the secret to low-key collection of objects as a male is to keep everything the same color. Women generally don't pay attention to objects that don't interest them, golf clubs, guitars, bicycles, but do not want to admit they didn't notice. If enough time passes, 6 months, you can say, oh, well, I've had that for months, and they're too proud to admit they didn't catch it immediately.
And I love the stereotyping here, too. It's just been going on throughout that when we're talking about the women's expenses, they're right. going to boutiques and they're buying shoes and clothes, and that the men are buying camera
iPhones
equipment and iPhones and just things with wires. And I think actually that's part of the reason that we have the story that we have, which is the women going to these boutiques and hiding their purchases. Because for some reason, culturally, there's a silliness, a little womanness to buying frills. And so you almost are minimized by it. Whereas we're so used to men who have made it, who have become CEOs, having their toys. And it's kind of, so there's no shame involved with it.
This guy's hiding his golf clubs by making sure they're all blue.
I know. You know. Okay. He's special.
Let's get a special caller on the line. This is Bridget. Bridget's with us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Hi there. Love your show, Neil.
Thank you.
I'm in direct sales, so this is actually on the sales side of it. I often sell to women, I sell Creative Memories, which is a scrapbooking supplies, and I often sell to women who don't want their husbands to know what they're purchasing from me. And I'd love to share two of the most, one most common and one most creative ways that people have of hiding their purchases.
Go ahead.
One is they'll put a little bit on the credit card, a little bit in the checkbook, and give me cash for the rest so that they can spread it out and nobody will figure it out.
Uh-huh, so $15 here, $20 here, and sooner or later you're talking big money.
Exactly, and quite frequently that happens. We call it the husband payment. And then the most creative was I had a gal was discussing her payment was actually quite large to mine. And she said, that's okay. I had 5 entries to Ann Taylor last week in my checkbook. And when my husband asked who Ann Taylor was, I told him it was the girl's dance teacher.
Well, that's just shopping on absolute pure ignorance.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Did anybody ever tell you why they needed to hide this stuff?
My question back to them is always, do your husbands not enjoy, especially that this is their family photographs that they're dealing with, don't they enjoy what they're ending up doing? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know. I don't understand that either because that's never been an issue in my house. But apparently it is in a lot of households.
I guess it is, Bridget. Thanks very much for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Lauren, as you're looking at these, I mean, these are inventive techniques, but nevertheless, as Carolyn's talking about, they point to a larger sort of problems within the structure of the marriage.
And I think it gets back to why. And the why is that money is a source of conflict. It always has been. Wars have been started over it for, you know, centuries, decades, eons. So, it happens in your home and it happens between two or three or, you know, however many countries. It's money. People fight over money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very psychological, rich, you know, there's books have been written on it and we could talk for hours about it. But whatever it is, people just come to money with very different feelings about it.
Hmm. Carolyn, I'm sure you never get any mail about this at all.
Actually, I was going to say, I've heard that money is the reason most couples fight. And honestly, I don't think it's money. I think it's power. I think if you're going to take the top reasons that couples fight, money, sex, whatever else it is, it's all power. And I think the money issue is uniquely about power because it is a way of asserting your supremacy in a way. It's if you are a, you know, for example, you're talking about the man who's hiding his golf clubs. It's I don't want to take any, I don't want to hear it from my wife and the people paying cash for these purchases in boutiques. I don't want to hear it from my husband. It's sort of, I don't want to get into that battle of who gets to make these decisions. And I don't want to get the disapproval of the other person. I mean, that's really what's going on. And cash is just so, it's so emotional because it's so immediate. And you're not going to, it's you have just so much. And it's so important to you that you're going to make sure that you're the one calling the shots with that cash.
There was a caller named Joe who called before the program.
Yeah.
And he said, I make more. I decide.
I get to decide, yes.
That's the power.
That's the power. Here's an email we got from David. Hidden purchases over the last 2 years. One shortwave radio, two computers, two telescopes, and six 45 caliber pistols. Why he would expect an argument, I don't know.
Okay.
Here's an email, this from the Pattersons. I work at a local tack store where lots of women shop to buy special clothes / equipment for either riding or the care of their horses. Many times when it comes to a big purchase, they will only put part of their purchase on their credit card since they don't want their husbands to know how much they're spending on an item for their horse. At the end of the year, we send out a gift certificate based on what our customers have spent for the year. The first year, we provided the total purchases for the year. We no longer do that since too many husbands had opened the mail and were not happy when they saw their wives' annual purchases at the tack store, what they were for the year. Women will often do creative things for the love of their horses, and for other things too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Liz. Liz is with us from Yosemite in California.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to share a unique solution that my husband and I have found. And it works well for people where both of you are working. And what we do is we deposit at least 50%, some predetermined percent of our income into a joint account. And then the other part of it we keep separate in our own accounts. That way, when we have our own purchases or if we want to buy a gift for the other person or whatever, we can still surprise them with our own money.
Uh-huh. But doesn't this lead to an awful lot of conversation?
Well, what do you mean, conversation?
Well, we need a new hot water heater. How much are you going to contribute?
Well, what we do, we always have at least 50% of our paycheck goes into this joint account, and that's, you know, we keep that building up, and we use it for occasions such as the water heater, and we use it for rent and utilities and all the expenses that are joint. I don't know how people handle it when they have joint expenses and maybe just one person is writing the checks, or I don't know if callers have shared with you how they deal with those joint expenses.
Do you get letters about that, Carolyn?
Not as often, because it's really, I guess that's part of the reason I have this perspective. There is an underlying fight that I hear about. It's
right.
I rarely hear about the actual structure, although I have had people write in who believe in separate accounts, and of course they'll go into a partnership or with someone who thinks that is just an immediate sign that there's distrust and that there's something wrong. And of course, I tend to come from the perspective that if somebody's insisting on the joint account, that actually sends up more red flags than people who are insisting on separate ones. But
either way, you're sending up a red flag.
But again, either way, if you're not talking about it, if you are disagreeing, if you're digging in, if you're not listening to what the other person is saying, then I think you've got fundamental problems. And again, I think the only reason that cash becomes the reason for these fights is it's finite, it's black and white, it's right there.
Uh-huh.
And so you duke it out. But I really think it's an issue of where you're coming from.
And Liz, your solution sounds like a good one, but does it make things easier or does it lead to arguments?
No, actually it made things a lot easier. To tell you the truth, we never fight about money. What I like to spend my money on is my business. He likes to buy a lot of camping gear or climbing gear or whatever. He has his own money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been able to do fine with our joint purchases. And when a big expense comes up, then we just decide, okay, we're going to have to put all our paycheck money into it for a while, you know, something like that.
And Lauren Young, you've said, well, whatever works for you, but that sounds like a solution that might work for more than one person.
I think it's just the talking about it. They talk about it. So that's, for Liz, it works great because she has conversation with her husband about it. But if you don't talk about it, then it's not going to work. So
yeah, it seems like a good compromise between the keeping your money totally separate thing or the having a totally joint account thing. And that compromise, I think, was really good for us.
Liz, thanks very much for the call. Continued good luck.
Thank you.
I was married, writes Cynthia by email, I was married to an absent-minded professor who was at his first job. Money was tight, so tight that our house, including the dining room, was largely unfurnished. One day I happened upon a dining room set that was a great deal at a secondhand shop, and I couldn't resist. With great trepidation, I paid cash and had it delivered on a day when he was not at home. I was certainly nervous when he came in that night, but he did not notice that furniture had appeared in the dining room that night, and he never has. So I guess, Carolyn, that's another solution.
Well, I say that's another good couple.
We're speaking with Carolyn Hacks, the advice columnist for The Washington Post, and with Lauren Young, personal business editor at Business Week magazine. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on. This is Karen. Karen with us from Laurel, Delaware.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
A store clerk once told me a really interesting thing that many women do, and I've kind of turned it into a joke. When you buy shoes, you tell the clerk to keep the box because the husband won't notice shoes coming into the house if there's no boxes in the trash or no boxes appear. So now when I buy shoes, even if my husband is standing next to me, I say, keep the boxes. My husband won't notice more shoes in the house. There's no shoe boxes to give me away.
So even that Jimmy Choo package you're just leaving right behind.
Yes, and the store clerks always get a great laugh out of it, but I actually learned it from a store clerk, and now it's a sense of humor.
Uh-huh. My problem is if I wear a pair of shoes out, that means the ones I'm leaving in the store are the worn-out ones that I don't want anymore. But anyway, I guess...
Well, they can come home in a bag. It's just not the telltale boxes that are left lying around or in the trash.
I gotcha. All right, Karen, thanks. I'll bear that in mind. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Bob, and Bob is with us from Jackson in Wisconsin.
Good afternoon, Neil. I'm about 4 times a week on your show. Love it.
Oh, thank
you.
This
is a story. We have been married 35 years. After about 10 years, 25 years ago, we started doing a substantial amount of volunteer work, Boy Scouts, church youth group, et cetera, et cetera. We always spend the money, and the groups give us a check back to reimburse us. My wife has never deposited the checks. She cashes them. We had an opportunity last spring to go to her step-nephew's wedding in Seattle. We have always been talking about a trip to Alaska. I said, honey, we can't afford the $8,000 to go to Alaska. She said, I have $10,000 in the drawer.
She's been squirreling that away all these years, and it added up to $10,000?
Out of the reimbursement checks from all of our volunteer work.
That's pretty astounding, first of all, that it happened so incrementally you didn't notice all this time.
I don't watch the... I trust her implicitly. I don't ever watch the checkbook.
Uh-huh. And so did you have the trip to Alaska?
We had a superb trip to Alaska. I took a side fly fishing trip by aircraft outside of Juneau, Alaska for Alaskan salmon. Oh, man, this was absolutely superb.
That sounds like a great story, Bob. And, of course, if she'd cashed these, if she'd put these checks into the checking account all this time, you would have spent it on nickel and dimes here and there. You wouldn't have even noticed it.
We wouldn't have noticed.
Huh.
We wouldn't have noticed. And it's just, you know, trust in your spouse and what have you. And she was pulling this off. And the thing that was so funny about it is she didn't even open a savings account because she said, you might have gotten to the mailbox first and would have seen the savings account statement and wondered what it was for. So it was cash in her dresser drawer.
So very devious, but very sweet, too.
Wasn't it, though?
Bob, thanks very much for the call.
Love your show.
Thanks very much. And
Lauren
and Carolyn, both of you have been talking about, look, fundamentally, it's all about trust.
Yes. And again, trusting your partner and trusting yourself. Of course, she could have had 14,000 squirreled away and spent four of it in a boutique.
And he would have never known.
And he would never have known.
As long as she didn't take it home in the box.
That's exactly.
That's right.
Wear it out.
Neil.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Come on, tell us, what have you hidden from your spouse?
What have I hidden from my spouse? Saying this on the radio would be giving it away.
Right, but what have you hidden from your spouse?
Saying it on the radio would be giving it away.
All right, I'll follow up with you privately, but I think you should share with the world what it is.
Well, I don't know. All those comic books, they had to come from someplace. Anyway, Lauren Young, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time, as always.
Yeah, get us off the air now that I've asked you the hard question.
The hard question.
Thank you so much, Neil. I appreciate it.
Lauren Young is a personal business editor at Business Week magazine with us from our bureau in New York. Carolyn Hacks, who's not asking me any embarrassing questions, is here in our studio in Washington, where she is the advice columnist for The Washington Post. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When we come back from a short break, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad visits Latin America. We'll hear about his tour, plus your letters. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.